You are tuned to KGVM Bozeman, Gallatin Valley Community Radio. You have just heard the first hour of public comments on Northwestern Energy's proposed 2019 Electrical Supply Resource Procurement Plan. It was convened by outgoing Public Service Commissioner for this district, Roger Koopman, at the Bozeman Public Library on the evening of December 30th, 2019. We continue in this second hour with public comments in the order they were delivered, followed by selected comments from the December 9th, 2019 Helena session. Until January 6, 2020, comments can be submitted by email at psc_utilitycomment@mt.gov. This and many more links to information, such as PDFs of Northwestern's proposed plan, the 2017 Montana Climate Assessment Report, and Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's special reports, can be found at kgvm.org.
My name is Beth Kading, and as many of you know, I'm a longtime member, board member of Northern Plains Resource Council, and have been their spokesman on many issues. But tonight I'm speaking for myself, and I'm more than disappointed with the plan that Northwest Energy has submitted. I'm really appalled at its lack of vision, sincerity, and truthfulness, and I strongly urge the Public Service Commission to reject the plan and all of the various aspects of the plan that will need Public Service Commission approval. Instead, I think the PSC should insist that Northwest Energy go back to the drawing board and honestly plan for the next 20 years with a clear, honest, accurately reviewed set of data that can convey to the public and the decision makers, that's you, the PSC, the true environmental, social, and financial impacts of the proposed projects that are a part of this new plan. Unfortunately, the plan we have before us does not do that. The model, data, assumptions, and analysis that are used in this plan are skewed. They're not transparent, and they're skewed toward the self-serving direction of the corporation. The plan fails to provide the public and the PSC with sufficient factual information to evaluate the conclusions that it presents. Northwest Energy's plan only consists of fossil fuel proposals, which are a gross waste of taxpayer dollars, and they are not as cost-effective as wind, solar, storage, and demand-side management when those resources are evaluated together as part of a system. What Northwest Energy did in this plan was model each of these things separately, not as an integrated system, so they dismissed them as not being valid or cost-effective. Things like renewable energy project that we heard about at Martinsdale, and all the fuel cell storage facility potential that is being rapidly moved forward, should be modeled in a new plan together so that they can show what those opportunities really have. I think if this is done, the plan would be more cost effective, less carbon emitting, and more efficient. Corporations are set up to protect their own interests, which are primarily to make money for the shareholders. Now, Northwestern Energy is a corporation, but it's also a monopoly utility, and the Public Service Commission was established to regulate them and to ensure that the captive ratepayers, that's all of us here in the room, are protected from corporate greed, tomfoolery, and self-serving decisions. I have no problem with corporations making a fair profit, but the devil is in the details with those words, making a fair profit. And that means different things to corporate executives than it does to the public, who must pay for that profit along with the actual costs of the energy they use. Do you know that from 2016 through 2018, the top five corporate executives at Northwestern Energy together were paid almost $19.5 million in compensation? This is not only wrong, but I find it disgusting, particularly when these corporate executives are not innovative, truly planning for the future, or being honest with their captive customers about what is going on within the utility's operations. All decisions require a choice, but government decisions in a democracy are supposed to carefully weigh the public good against corporate plans and desires. These decisions do not involve leveling the playing field, as there is nothing level about these situations. Government decisions are supposed to ensure that the public is protected and that the benefits from proposed projects outweigh the multitude of environmental and social costs. The public in this case is not just ratepayers. It's also the public's land, water, air, and the ecosystems, or the livable space, formed by the natural world. So protecting the public also means that we have enough foresight to ensure that our livable Earth stays livable. Please hold Northwestern Energy accountable for a more honest analysis and greater transparency. Make sure that they include energy efficiency as well as more carbon-free, renewable energy sources and energy storage scenarios that are truly out there now and available. We need you to do this to protect Montanans and ensure that we, the Northwest Energy ratepayers, are not shortchanged by corporations that have self-serving motives behind their proposals. Thank you.
My name is Jeremiah Johnson. I'm a high school substitute math teacher right now. And I studied basically gas transfer through the snow, part of a PhD program, which I did not follow all the way through because I had more fun teaching. One of the things that I learned about that, to reiterate what was spoken earlier, was how much more detrimental methane emissions are than CO2. And so just accounting for carbon taxes, if we, at its most conservative, we take it as, so the half-life of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is about 120 years. The half-life of methane is about 20 to 25 years. And so it is a much shorter period, but because it's a 100 times, maybe even 120 times more effective greenhouse gas, so it's more effective at trapping energy in our atmosphere, because of that, it needs to be accounted for at a most conservative rate of 20 times more effective of a greenhouse gas. So any future legislation that puts a cost on greenhouse gases, if we don't account for that, moving to more efficient, quote-unquote, natural gas power plants that will not protect us from the costs of putting a carbon tax or putting a greenhouse gas tax on there. I looked a little bit into what the Public Service Commission's purpose is to provide affordable, reliable, and sustainable energy for the long term. So it's not just reliable, which seems to be the consistent thing that that video was saying that really had some weird psychological things going on. There was very clear sound effects done there to scare us into being afraid of anything that isn't reliable, even though there's not scientific proof to say that. In fact, a lot opposing that. So it needs to be affordable as well, which we have lots of information saying that it is affordable. It's more affordable, maybe a third as affordable to get green renewable energy than it is to continue to depend on coal strip, and sustainable for the long term. That means that not being dependent on natural gas resources, not being dependent on fossil fuel resources, and potentially not being reliant on corporate profitability resources. So maybe a transition to more local scale home power plants, I think, is important. That was not mentioned in this. Reviews known future events that may affect the business. So that would be climate change and carbon taxes, not including methane emissions. Ridiculous. And then balances the interests of ratepayers. Any plan that only has 1% solar power cannot be a balance of what we, the ratepayers, want. If there's only 1% solar power in their plan, you have to reject that. It does not represent what we want as ratepayers, so that's the polar opposite of what we want. Another thing that is not mentioned in there, or at least that I didn't see, is the value of the coal strip transmission lines as an opportunity to transport low greenhouse gas energy that would be available to be sold to other markets. I think one of the things that was brought up in the New England energy company that was mentioned earlier was there has to be a dependence on an entire region. And so if we don't allow our lines to be used to sell renewable energy, then we're kind of cutting our own financial opportunities. And finally, continued dependency on coal strip is unacceptable. Approximately 1% of solar is unacceptable. I think this plan is unacceptable. Please reject it.
All right. My name is Nick Hostetler. I'm from Bozeman. Commissioner Koopman, I'd like to thank you and your staff for putting this on tonight. I thank everybody for showing up. And Commissioner Koopman, I was at the PSC meeting in Helena, and I made pretty much the same pitch. So if it feels repetitive, I'm sorry. But I feel like it's important. You talked a lot about the nitty-gritty here tonight, the details of the plan, and that's great, but I'd like to maybe zoom out a little bit and talk about some big picture stuff. And the big picture of what we're talking about tonight, Northwestern Energy's primary motivation, really the only obligation they're considering with this plan, is how can they provide energy to Montana's consumers while making as much money as possible. I think that's the wrong obligation, and here's why. Everybody in this room, we are some of the richest and most powerful people to ever live on the planet. And it might not feel like that every day. I have a day job. It sucks. I get it. But we are. And so we have a moral imperative, I think, to consider more than just whether or not we are making money. We have to consider how our actions and how our behavior impacts those on the planet that aren't as powerful as us, the world's poor people. It's been mentioned tonight that, among other things, that in the coming decades, there are going to be hundreds of millions of climate refugees all over this planet because of the greenhouse gases we are spewing into the atmosphere. To put it frankly, we're screwing these people over. I guess I'm here to say tonight to all of the old people that my generation isn't going to continue screwing those people over. We're going to transition our economy off of fossil fuel to carbon neutral and then to carbon negative in the coming decades. That's a promise. And given the plan for Northwestern Energy, it's also a threat. Because every piece of infrastructure that Northwestern Energy builds, every fossil fuel pipeline, every fracking rig, will become a stranded asset in the next few decades. And the ratepayers of this state will be stopped paying for those stranded assets for years and probably decades after they have stopped producing energy for us. Thank you.
If you aren't able to speak tonight, you still have the opportunity to provide comment to the Public Service Commission, to me directly, or to all commissioners. I read everything that comes into me and try to answer most of them, but that would be very helpful. And the commission extended the public comment period a few more days, so it will go out to the 6th of January now, so we've got a few more days to do that.
I'm Will Wright. I'm 29 years old, so like the last speaker, I cut the median age in about half from Belgrade, Montana. And I really questioned about coming here tonight because, to be honest, I felt like the Public Service Commission, which is supposed to be this independent body, doesn't really feel like it. It feels like a bunch of paid cronies. I just want to make one point, and my point is that I was on my Facebook feed the other weekend, and this sort of ad popped up that said, "More power to you." I clicked on this because I was sort of interested. It was talking about the Northwestern Energy Resource Procurement Plan. Initially, I thought this website, morepowertoyou.org, was some sort of citizens group that's concerned about Montana's energy future. But in reality, if you go to the About Us page and you scroll all the way down to the bottom, it has a project paid by Northwestern Energy, which is basically soliciting public support for the plan that's offered. And so, Commissioner, I just want to ask you if that's something that you think is done with integrity and honesty on behalf of Northwestern Energy. And I think when it boils down to it, that the resource procurement plan is all about padding the profits short term for Northwestern Energy ratepayers while bearing out the costs in the long term over people like my 2-year-old son with increased wildfires, prolonged droughts, and other parts of the climate chaos.
Thank you for being here and hearing us, Commissioner Koopman. My name is Sarah Blessing, and I'm the lead organizer of Sunrise Movement Gallatin County. I was at the PSC hearing in Helena a few weeks ago, and at that meeting, I called the commission's attention to over 15 students that attended that meeting. Only a select few of them were actually from Helena. Many of us bussed in. Many of them had had final examinations at university that morning or had them the next day, and I want to represent them. We are the youth, and we will not stand for the business as usual that Northwestern Energy is proposing in their procurement plan. They tout that their procurement plan, which relies on new natural gas, is the cheapest option. But is that really true? What is the cost of another baby that succumbs to asthma? What is the cost of clean water? What is the cost of the loss of white bark pine or mountain goats to our fragile alpine ecosystems? What is the cost of my future and the future of my peers. I know that Northwestern Energy is legally obligated to take the cheapest option on the market. I would like to see Northwestern Energy go to Congress and ask them to reinvent how they look at cost, look at the real cost, and I would like to see the Public Service Commission pressure them to do so. The youth of today are suffering. Instead of focusing on school, on dating, on paying our huge student debts, we are wondering if we will have futures at all. No plan short of getting off fossil fuels today is adequate, and some may think that is radical, but what is really radical is doing nothing. What is really radical is a plan that doesn't even come close to getting us to neutral greenhouse gas emissions and letting our futures be destroyed. As Montanans, we have a right to clean water and air. We use 0.1% of our potential wind energy, and let's use the rest. Let's create good jobs in Montana. Now is the time to do what is absolutely necessary, not what is practical or financially viable. Thank you.
I'm Graham Cummins from Bozeman. I love living in a democracy. It's amazing that you ask and that we can come and speak to you. So thank you for that. So I was a little put off by that reverb effect at the end of keep the lights on. Right, so that's terrifying, right? A 30% chance the light might turn off. I'm not very scared by that, actually. Estimate published in Science this fall said that 5 billion people might be subject to starvation or displacement within my lifetime. 5 billion people, half the population of Earth. 30% chance the lights turn off, 50% chance that your child starves. That's what we're facing. And I've lived without power for 4 months. I've never had to watch a child starve. There's one of these things that scares me and one that doesn't. So it's a tough technical challenge to figure out how we're going to deal with this. But it's possible. Gordon Butte pumped hydro. We can make wind dispatchable. Montana has enough resources to supply its power. If we have enough foresight to do that in a way that is consistent with continuing to live on our planet. If this was a market, I could make my decision by choosing to buy. And actually, I can do that anyway. I'm not going to buy Northwestern's methane power. I put twice my consumption of solar capacity on my house. I'm getting batteries. I'm just not going to do it. But I can do that because I'm privileged. I'm a software engineer. I make great money. Right? I make more than I should. Not everyone can make this choice. A lot of people have to take the power or they have to freeze to death. And they're not allowed to go to another company and buy better power because of the monopoly issue that we've heard a lot about. And so they have to rely on the PSC to represent their interests. And I hope the PSC listens to all these people who have clearly expressed their interests.
My name is Greg Finley. I'm a small business owner here in Bozeman, and I'm a parent of 10 and 12-year-old children who deserve a livable future. And thank you for being here, Mr. Gutman. We appreciate the PSC scheduling these additional listening sessions. That was really kind and not kind, it was doing your duty, and we appreciate that. Northwestern Energy has a real chance right now to be a hero and to do the right thing for us. They have a chance to provide the clean, cheap, renewable energy that we demand. But instead, they're choosing to be villains. They're choosing to enrich their shareholders at our expense and the expense of our future. Why are they doing that? Because we have let them. Up to now, we haven't been paying attention. But we are paying attention now. Just take a look right now. Northwestern, we're paying attention, and we ask you to be those heroes and do the right thing for us. As a business owner and an MBA, I've done a lot of 20-year plans projecting out into the future, and I have a pretty decent idea of how they work. I'm not a statistician, I'm not an engineer, but I've done a lot of projections. Usually you start by defining a problem, and then you create a model, and you put in inputs to solve this problem. And then it spits out the results. But if you choose the wrong problem, your plan is garbage. And I would say Northwestern Energy has chosen the wrong problem. They claim that the greatest threat to Montana ratepayers is not having enough peak power at certain times of the year. The greatest threat is climate change and being stuck paying for dirty, polluting, greenhouse gas-emitting assets that we won't use long into the future. There are a lot of analyses out there that say that we can actually solve our problems. We can meet our energy needs and actually save money by using a combination of energy efficiency, wind, solar, and battery storage. But Northwestern chooses to enrich their shareholders by building expensive fracked gas power plants because they will make a 10%+ rate of return on those plants. As has been mentioned, many of our neighbors in Wyoming, Idaho, Washington, Oregon, Colorado have all looked at other options and have found that they are actually cheaper
not more expensive. And that's excluding the externalities that Sarah and others have spoken about, of pollution, of starvation, of climate change, of rising sea levels. Another problem, a number of studies are showing today that a lot of the gas plants being built today are going to end up as stranded assets. What does that mean? We're going to build them, and then pretty soon it will become very, very clear that wind and solar and battery storage, even new wind and battery and solar, is much cheaper than the existing fracked gas plants. And those plants will be abandoned. They'll be left on the books of Northwestern Energy, and we, the ratepayers, will be paying for those assets long after they've stopped being used. Today is the time to go to the future, to clean, renewable energy with storage. Northwestern laid out the scary idea that the big problem is that there's an energy shortage. And they showed a slide, and it shows all the plant closures. But what they failed to show us is that every utility in our region has put out requests for proposals to build new power plants. So there will be a lot of power plants going online as well as the coal plants going offline. It's not like there's just no energy out there. Also, energy efficiency can meet our needs in Montana without having to build a single new power plant. In fact, they talked about the Northwest Power and Conservation Council did a study and say that 7,000 megawatts, way more than we use in Montana, has been saved in this region alone through energy efficiency. What is energy efficiency? It's a combination of efficient appliances, better light bulbs, but it's also going to demand response, where you work with corporations to say, hey, we'll pay you not to use power during these peak periods, and it's cheaper than building new plants. Or use time of use policies, where you raise the rates at certain times to encourage people not to use power at those times. We don't need these new power plants that they want to build. Well, we talked about the way you do a model. You start with a problem. I think they defined the problem wrong. The second thing you do, though, you've got your model, and you say, well, I'm going to put these inputs in, and it'll spit out the outcome that I want. That's exactly what Northwestern did, except they looked at the outcome that they wanted, the one that would make them the most money, and they chose the inputs to put in that would give them the result that makes the most money. So how did they do that? Well, they looked at natural gas. They didn't include a lot of the costs of natural gas. They didn't include pipelines, which in 2015 cost $7.6 million per mile. How many hundreds of miles of new pipelines are we going to need for these new fracked gas plants, this 800 megawatts they want to build? That wasn't included. Guess what? It made fracked gas look pretty cheap. But then they did the opposite with renewables. They refused to use some pretty standard accepted costs for energy and production of renewables, the Lazard levelized cost of energy. And instead, they got their consultant to say, oh, those don't work in Montana. So they created other costs for these renewables, and they came out quite a bit higher. So you put in an artificially low price for fracked gas, you put in artificially high prices for wind and solar and batteries, and guess what? It says we need fracked gas. It's even worse. We are using less than 1% of all of our wind potential in Montana. They looked at that less than 1% of commercial wind potential and said on the warmest day of last summer and the coldest day last winter, the wind didn't blow there. So they extrapolate out that the wind didn't blow anywhere. And they assign a capacity contribution of wind of 2.6%. All that really means is when they ran a model on wind, it didn't meet any of our needs. And so it came out way more expensive because they had to actually add as much fracked gas as they did in the fracked gas plant. So now it's fracked gas plus wind. They did the same in solar. They did this over and over. And guess what? They got the results that they wanted. And they wrote it in a way that most of us don't understand it and don't tear it apart. I am here to say, Northwestern, we're starting to tear it apart. We're starting to pay attention. Luckily, we have these commissioners here to listen to us. We ask you to please look at this plan and reject it. It's a bad plan. It's not what we want, and we demand better. Thank you.
My name is Pat Flowers. Once again, I'm a senator representing the west side of Bozeman and down through West Yellowstone. The externalities, it's actually required by the Public Service Commission's own administrative rules, 385203. States public utilities should address external environmental costs in their existing resource portfolios and resource plans. Obviously, they haven't done that. In fact, it's bold enough, it was kind of astounding to read on page 1113 in the plan in response to a public comment. They say the plan does not include externalities beyond those currently included in the cost of resources and market prices. So they've shirked their responsibility, in my opinion,
that's required by administrative rule, and I hope the PSC pays attention to that. I talked to thousands of voters last year who are also ratepayers. They were clear. They want government that is transparent and that fairly represents their interests. As our public utility regulators, the Public Service Commission should make it clear to Northwestern Energy that their procurement plan is not transparent or fair in its evaluation of energy futures. It does not comply with administrative rules and is clearly not in the best interest of ratepayers. With that notice, the Commission should deny any needed authorization to Northwestern Energy that comes under the guidance of the proposed procurement plan. Thank you very much.
Commissioner Koopman, my name is Will Swearengin, Bozeman. Just a few comments about Northwestern Energy's plan to buy more of Colstrip Unit 4. First of all, this Unit 4 is already 35 years old. It's had major problems continuously. It was closed for 6 months in 2009, 6 months in 2013, 2.5 months last year. We know that the superheater needs repairs estimated at $20 million. Its age, its poor condition, and other factors really contradict the claim of Northwestern Energy that Unit 4 will provide reliable, dispatchable energy at times of peak demand. So it's really unrealistic to think this plant is going to continue to function until 2042, as Northwestern Energy projects. Secondly, when the utility offered to buy the dams from PPL in 2013, it proposed paying $740 million for the dams alone, but it offered to pay only $400 million for the dams and Colstrip. In other words, it was recognizing that Colstrip represented a $340 million liability. So why are they now offering to buy it for $1? They should be demanding that they be paid tens of millions of dollars to take this huge liability off Puget Sound Energy's hands. And then finally, let's remember there's a good reason that Northwest Energy in the last legislature tried to get a bill passed to allow it to completely bypass the PSC and buy Colstrip for $1. It was afraid the PSC wouldn't approve this purchase. So Mr. Koopman, I hope you and your fellow commissioners will prove they were justified in their concern. Please don't burden future generations of Montanans with this enormous liability.
Bill McLaughlin, I'm a Bozeman resident as well. I'm here as a scientist and a father and a grandfather. As a scientist, let me briefly comment. The very weak, propaganda-filled 10-minute presentation at the beginning of this was an insult. As a scientist, I base my decisions based on evidence, and commissioners, please, when you look at that information compared to the research all these presenters did, as a scientist, I'm picking them. It's better research. They did their jobs, and the other people didn't. If I was on this commission, I would still be a scientist looking at the difference in the quality of the points. As a father and a grandfather, I would still have that role if I was on the commission as well. And I couldn't, in clear conscience, as a father and a grandfather, and we can't let this be the plan for my children and my grandchildren and yours. We can't let this be the plan. If I was on the commission, I would say, go back, do better. You can. Thank you for listening.
My name is Becky Weed. I'm a Belgrade resident. I live in what I like to call the Bozeman Backlash District. And with that in mind, I want to build on what you, Mr. Koopman, said at the beginning, that not all Republicans on the commission vote alike. I think there's some issues that when the right and the left meaning people explore their concept of freedom, justice, and common sense, they come together on the other side. Food systems, local food is one of those issues, and I think energy generation and distribution is another one. I think that right now we have a history of Northwest Energy board members being like grizzly bears with their reflexes stuck in a 1916 Yellowstone dump. And instead, they're really stuck in a 1990s Wall Street reflex version of what success in America means. What I guess I would like to frame this as positively as possible. I plead to the Public Service Commission to work with us to lead Northwest Energy to be as concerned and anxious about their legacy as they have previously been about their quarterly reports. Thank you very much.
I'm Carrie French, resident of Bozeman. I just wanted everyone to know that there's a company called Arcadia Power If you go to their website, you can sign up for their connecting you to local and community renewable energy. And you still get billed from Northwestern, but you can support clean energy even if you can't put solar panels on your home.
My name is Jedediah Hinkle, former senator and candidate for House District 67. The purpose of the Public Service Commission is to protect the consumers from excessive energy costs because we are dealing with a monopoly. I do want to thank Representative Woods for actually sharing the success of that bill, that consumer protection bill. There's not a lot of folks that would do that in this political climate. But that's what it was. It was a consumer protection bill. And I will testify that the Public Service Commission was in full support of that bill because that's their job. And so that bill was put through on a bipartisan effort. We have a monopoly. Free market ideals, totally for that. Right now, we don't have that. We don't have that option. So we have to deal with the monopoly that we have currently. But I feel that Northwestern right now, even though this plan is into the future decades, I feel that they're looking more short term because it's by 2026 that we're going to meet these critical energy needs, almost a 30% chance of it. So what I encourage the commission to do is to continue to do your job, which you have been doing, which is stand up for the consumer and protect us with all this information that you're getting on both sides, make a good judgment that's going to not get in the weeds on climate change versus not climate change or fossil fuels versus renewables, but that you would look at each proposal and that you would determine what is going to protect the consumer the most. Thank you.
My name is Melissa Blessing. I just wanted you guys to know that I've been at both the rate case hearings and now these two hearings about the procurement plan, and this is the best showing we've had. But we've also always led off with Northwestern Energy giving us a scare story, which seems a little odd to me as a public hearing that they should get the first word. I'm going to get the last word this time and remind you that they're a corporation. So the Public Service Commission doesn't really have much control over them. So don't forget that this doesn't end here. It doesn't matter what these guys do. This process is going to continue, and we all need to show up, and we all need to keep saying what we know and asking for what we will have. Thank you very much.
You have just heard comments from the public comment session convened by outgoing Public Service Commissioner for this district, Roger Koopman, at the Bozeman Public Library on the evening of December 30th, 2019. We now hear selected comments from the December 9th, 2019 session at the Public Service Commission office in Helena. We begin with Melissa Blessing of Belgrade, whose comments in Bozeman were shortened due to lack of time.
My name is Melissa Blessing, and I'm from Belgrade, Montana. Good afternoon. I'm here to exercise my right to public involvement and stakeholder input. First, I'd like to comment that your public involvement is less than accessible and accommodating. The last PSC meeting I attended was in a tiny title company office where we had to cycle through from outside in the cold weather the building to speak to you, Mr. Koopman. The same is true today, although I'm quite sure you knew there'd be this large turnout. There's been enough press. I thank you for rejecting the rate increase, as was your only choice, given Northwest Energy's refusal to provide thorough justification. As regards this hearing, it is only prudent and exigent that Northwest Energy engage competitive resource bids, rigorously evaluate market changes and risk, which, by the way, in no uncertain terms, describes investors abandoning coal and fossil fuels around the globe, and expand stakeholder, not just stockholder, input, which Northwest Energy has instead avoided with intent. Our legislature in 1999 and Senate Bill 409 stated that renewables must be a part of Northwest Energy's procurement strategy and investment. You have seen little, if any, growth in renewables during your tenure, have not publicly called for adherence to the bill's intent, and therefore are derelict in your duty to Montanans. We do not have the cheapest, most efficient, clean, and sustainable energy, nor are we likely to, as the need for this hearing suggests, proves. I remind you of your obligation to your employers, gentlemen. Send the procurement plan back to Northwestern Energy with clear and unequivocal instructions. We want renewable energy investment, and we want it immediately, transparently, and responsibly in that order. From now on, we will hold you accountable determinedly, and we will vote.
My name is Wilbur Raymond. I live here in Helena. And 3 years ago, my wife and I installed rooftop solar on our house. And since that time, we've watched our power generation with the software provided on a daily basis. And we've had numbers that don't look at all like the Northwestern slide in comparing solar with their demands. We've met our electricity needs with our solar on our house for the last 3 years. And we can do it in investing our own money, not taxpayer money, our money, and taking all the risks. Seems like we ought to be able to ask our power company to do the same thing and invest money in solar. We haven't combined it with battery storage yet. That's our next step as the battery price comes down, and we'd like to see the same thing happen with Northwestern's procurement. Thank you very much.
Ann Hedges with Montana Environmental Information Center. And I have a couple things to say. First off, the PSC does have power here. I think last resource plan, there were a couple of us who testified, and a lot has happened since then, but the resource plan hasn't changed. My complaints about it are exactly the same as they were 3 years ago. And this commission did a very good job last time of going through and identifying all the flaws in the previous plan. That plan is the building block for future decisions for this commission, for Northwestern, and for the public. This plan is important. Despite Northwestern saying that you have no authority here, you do have authority. You have the authority to represent the public and make sure all the risks are properly analyzed, the costs are properly analyzed. What we have here today is a for-profit plan. It is the highest profit plan that Northwestern could come up with instead of a least cost plan for consumers. That is the problem. I do believe that your staff, in its most recent memo on the rate case, did a very good job of going through the risks associated with Colstrip. Their analysis of how much money remains for consumers to pay off, over $300 million at 8.25% rate of return for 20 plus more years, and yet your staff identifies that all of the other owners want out. They are looking to get out in the next decade. So what does that leave for all of us who are Northwestern Energy customers? It's called intergenerational equity. We are going to end up having to pay for something, and so are our kids, that they're not using because the other owners aren't going to be there. Northwestern cannot operate that Colstrip plant with only a 30% share in one single unit. They'd be irresponsible for them to go forward, and buying more is going to be expensive. And let's talk about some of those expenses that Northwestern ignored. The funny thing is, and I urge you to go look at Northwestern's SEC reports, Northwestern actually does tell the Security and Exchange Commission, because by law it has to, what the risks are of Colstrip and moving forward. It did not say that in this plan. It ignored that in this plan. It didn't want the public to know, but I urge you to go look at their most recent quarterly report to the SEC. And some of the things that you'll find in that quarterly report is an admission that in this new coal contract that was just signed that we don't have any details about, that contract is going to cost more money. We are going to have to pay more. We know right now we're paying $23+ million a year for fuel at that plant. We know that price since 2012 has increased by 35%. We've heard rumors that this new coal contract is going to increase prices another 30%. These are the questions that they should be disclosing. These are the questions I would urge the commission to request. Northwestern also told the SEC that when units 1 and 2 close at the beginning of next year, the operating costs for unit 3 and 4 are going to increase as well. That's not in this plan anywhere, despite Northwestern knowing when it submitted this plan that Unit 1 and 2 were going to close at the end of this year. Talon, in fact, blames the closure for Unit 1 and 2 on the escalating price of fuel. It said it in its press release. It blamed it on the fuel costs, not environmental regulations. The escalating cost of fuel is why Talon is getting out of Unit 1 and 2. Those same market-driven economics are impacting the market economics of Unit 3 and 4. Colstrip's annual fixed costs have been increasing by 6.9% between the years 2013 and 2017. Those fixed costs aren't going to go away. In fact, what we've learned recently, for funny reasons, we've learned that there is a serious problem at the Colstrip Unit 4 boiler. Again, This time it's the superheater, and it's going to need next year a $20 million investment to fix that problem. That's what the utilities out in Washington State are telling their utility commission, but we haven't seen any of that from Northwestern Energy. They are hiding the ball about the cost of Colstrip. They hide behind the theory that reliability is the most important thing that there is, but yet they ignore the fact that in 2009, Colstrip was down for 6 months. 2013, Colstrip was down for over 6 months. 2018, Colstrip was down because it was in violation of the mercury and air toxic standard for 2.5 months. And now they come to the commission asking us to pay for the replacement power for that outage. Where is in here, where do we hear about the ash ponds leaking? There are two sentences in this plan on the leaking ash pond costs. Those costs are known. The DEQ told the Legislative Federal Relations Committee and Energy Committee in the House earlier this year that they expected the cost to clean up the Colstrip ash ponds was going to be $400 to $700 million. That's a lot of money, and it's not even mentioned in this plan. You know that DEQ now has about $150 million in bonding and is considering bonding for the coal ash ponds at Unit 3 and 4. As DEQ says, the biggest, most complex ash ponds at the Colstrip plant. And right now, Talen's plan is to leave waste remaining above the standards, the level of cleanup that they desire in the year 2120. That site, under Talen's current plan that DEQ is currently considering, will still have slow-moving pollutants existing above the point of compliance by 2120. So Talen's saying that that cleanup plan that is wholly inadequate will cost about $110 million. Where is that money? Or the fact that DEQ will hopefully reject that idea and make them clean up those ash ponds properly long before 2120, where are those costs in this resource plan? They're not there. Northwestern has failed in its duty to provide all of us with adequate information about the escalating costs of Colstrip. They put all of us at risk, and your job, please, please take this job and do what you did last time and tell them, go back to the drawing board. Don't present us with a plan like this again. We're not going to make any resource decisions based upon this inadequate plan because they forgot to include all the numbers. Thank you.
My name is Mark Judeman. I live in Helena, although much of the time you can find me working at our family ranch near Craig. After graduation from Montana State University in Bozeman with a degree in earth science and geophysics, I worked for Shell Oil for more than 30 years as an exploration and production geophysicist. During that time, I worked on many projects onshore and offshore, including being the lead geophysicist on several major oil and gas developments in the deepwater Gulf of Mexico. Following my retirement, I was on the adjunct faculty for the Department of Petroleum Engineering at the University of Houston, where I taught Introduction to Petroleum Engineering to class sizes ranging up to 400 students. So it is with some familiarity with oil and gas production that I share these 2 points. The first point is the decline curve for a fracked oil or gas well in the Bakken Formation of the Williston Basin. That is, the profile of production for an individual well peaks very early and is very steep. Production is highest when the well is first brought online, then declines rapidly so that in 3 years the well may be producing just a quarter or less of what it was initially producing. The only way to keep production high for a field is to drill more wells very quickly. The second point is the best wells in a field are in regions called sweet spots, where the target formation is thicker and richer. In those sweet spots, initial production will be higher and decline perhaps less rapid. The problem is that the sweet spots are limited in extent and they are exploited first. That makes it increasingly difficult to keep production up, even with more drilling. If Northwestern Energy is anticipating that gas from the Williston is going to be both easily available and cheap, they are likely badly mistaken. All fields eventually play out, and the Williston is no exception. It will almost certainly be producing a fraction of what it is now by the end of the 20-year planning period you are contemplating. Unfortunately, as that happens and fuel prices rise, it will be the ratepayers who feel the pinch. We'll still be paying for obsolete facilities and pipeline infrastructure. We'll be paying for the high cost of fuel. Not Northwestern, us. The only way to avoid the increasing cost of fuels is to shift to clean energy, which has no fuel costs. Sunlight and wind are free, and the technologies that capture that energy are declining in cost, in stark contrast to fossil fuel facilities. Storage costs, whether they are batteries or pumped hydro, and I also found it interesting that that was not discussed, are declining as well. So the red herring of intermittency can be dismissed. I urge the Public Service Commission to reject the procurement plan submitted by Northwestern Energy and instead require a plan that is both financially and environmentally sustainable for ratepayers.
My name is Tim Holmes. I'm an artist from Helena and a solar energy producer. In looking at a big engineering project like this, it's pretty easy for us to look at the costs and ignore the values. And I want to bring up in particular a statement that appears on page 11-13 of the report, which says that Northwestern Energy doesn't take into account the social costs in responding to concerns about climate change. And I find this really alarming. If you go on a ship and you see a lifeboat there, that represents a social cost. If you own a building that burns down and you spend money trying to get people out of the building, that represents a social cost. And oftentimes, those are the most important things that are presented to us. Now, I'm not worried about our generation, yours and mine. I'm worried about our kids and our grandkids. And I think, what would it be if they look back at our period in history some decades down the road and discover that we didn't do everything we could to produce for them an environment that is at least as survivable as what we inherited from our forebears? If we're not able to do that, then I say, what kinds of creatures have we become? And I'm not directing this at the Commission or at Northwestern Energy. I'm directing this at our generation. Or as the Bible said more beautifully, what profit does it give you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Thank you.
I'm Fran Penneray from Helena, Montana, and I want to thank the Commission for accepting all these public comments, of which there's been financial advisors, petroleum engineers, and thoughtful, concerned people. And I believe that the resource plan presented by Northwest Energy used their automatic resource selection model. And it is a flawed model because it really doesn't do the cost and benefit analysis for the true costs of the pipelines, the cleanup costs, the environmental degradation, the resource costs. And in that resource model, it came to the conclusion that's quoted on page 11 of the executive summary that says, renewable resources and energy storage tech are projected to decline in cost, but are still more expensive than natural gas-fired resources and were not selected by the model. There are flaws in that model. And I think they were utility-scale solar and wind, and it's probably appropriate for wind, but I believe there could be more acknowledgement of the contribution of rooftop solar towards meeting our energy needs for reliable energy in the future.
My name is Gail Joslin, and my family goes back many generations in Montana, and we're not likely to ever leave this awesome landscape, and we will continue to forever be involved in our energy future. First, thank you for voting on net metering as you did. I want to be able to be part of the energy solution in the future by generating rooftop solar. Please stay the course that you have taken with that vote and encourage Montana households to join in providing energy to the grid at a reasonable, even incentivized rate. You, as our public representatives and stewards of our future, must require honesty from Northwest Energy in any plan. You must demand full disclosure of costs of that plan, demand comparisons with other energy companies with respect to modeling projections into the future, recognize that the public wants and demands that we quickly transition to renewable energy. For being the nation's fourth largest state, it is far past time to harness the big sky's wind and solar energy, because renewable energy is the treasure state's greatest treasure. Fairness and equity on behalf of Montana citizens now and tomorrow is in your hands. Reject the Northwest Energy Plan and rate increases, and please do the right thing. Thank you.
My name is Linda Young, and I'm Professor Emerita of Political Science at Montana State University. I'm going to speak very briefly from my heart. My last few years of teaching were marked by the fact that our students are really having a crisis of depression and anxiety about their future. What they're reacting to is overall is a sense of diminished opportunity for meaningful work, an unparalleled level of income inequality in our country, and by decision makers of all types who prioritize shareholder profits over public health. They're reacting to the fact that we have capitalism that's not really free market, but it's oligarchy at this point. Young people, and I think most of your audience here believe the thousands of scientists who say that we have 11, 12 years to reduce emissions by 50%. And this is absolutely revolutionary. This reduction, I think, should be your mandate. We should be leaders in this. It is revolutionary, but models of leadership abound all around us. We can see leaders. We can look to models of indigenous communities. We can look to Pope Francis, who offered up for people of faith a revolutionary model of thinking of culture change in Laudato Si. And I think that it's not too much to ask that of you today in all of the decisions that you make to consider this mandate, reductions of 50% at least of emissions over the next 12 years. Our young people deserve nothing less.
My name is Jennifer Swearingen. I live in Bozeman. I would like to just briefly address one of the most serious problems I see in the plan, aside from the fact that it largely ignores renewable energy. And that is that it insists that in order to meet peak demand, that is the highest demand on the highest day of energy draw, that it must own 100% of that generation, and that only natural gas is reliable enough to do that. They have said that they are not engaging in fear-mongering, but they have raised the specter of blackouts. I think it's really important to remember that in the first decade of Northwestern's existence, they owned zero generation, nothing. And the lights did not go out. No one froze to death. And we got along pretty well. I just think this is an absurd assumption. If the commission grants permission to build 800 megawatts of new gas generation, that would mean more than tripling Northwest Energy's reliance on fossil fuels. And this would be occurring at a time that we all agree that we absolutely have to reduce our reliance on fossil fuels. That, to me, is just unthinkable. It also presents an enormous risk to ratepayers. These plants have a lifespan of 20 to 40 years, and those plants are going to become stranded assets. In sum, I strongly urge you to scrutinize the assumptions that Northwestern Energy has made in this plan and ask them to go back to the drawing board. Thank you.
My name is Mark Anderlich. I'm from Missoula, and I've been 18 years union leader, and 13 of which spent with the head of the Missoula Area Central Labor Council, AFL-CIO. I will call your attention to the Wall Street Journal, September 29th of this year. There's an article written called "Shale Boom is Slowing Just When the World Needs Oil Most," is the name, the title of the article. And in it, it quotes essentially system-wide all the fracking that is going on mostly in the East, but also in the Bakken is significantly slowing down. In fact, they say in that article that this year the production is down 12%, and that's on top of last year production down 16%. If you recall, the whole fracking industry has taken on a huge amount of debt to get going, to get started, under President Obama, as a matter of fact. They have yet to pay back a lot of that debt. If as an industry, their production is going down, where are they going to have the wherewithal to pay off their debts? They have yet to turn a profit. I know there's other sources of natural gas. There's quite a few wells in Montana that are currently capped. But depending upon the fracking industry to power this interim gas power is a pretty dicey business with a industry that has yet to show a profit.
My name is Beth Taylor Wilson, and I'm from Missoula. During the climate strike in Missoula on September 20th, 350 Montana captured on film Northwestern Energy's cowardly response to some polite middle school-aged kids who respectfully asked a security person
if they could talk to someone inside the Northwestern Energy Public Utilities building about climate catastrophe. Instead, this security person called the Missoula Police Department. These very polite policemen sent a squad car, and two very bemused policemen showed up. They left about a minute later, no doubt wondering what kind of threat could non-aggressive, articulate 12-year-olds possibly present to a privately owned public utilities building. What is Northwestern Energy afraid of? After writing an October newspaper column denying climate change and opposing children's choice to strike for the climate and for their futures, Roger Koopman, Commissioner, you wrote another guest column on November 4th that you told us that you just wanted to have some fun. And you questioned, quote, the scientific validity of the world coming to an end narrative, unquote. Mr. Koopman, this topic is not fun. It's existential. That's why I told all the commissioners the last time I was here that your children and grandchildren will not be proud of you. It's worse than that, sir. Your children may not even be here. I implore you, please do your jobs. Protect the public and protect your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. No new fossil fuel infrastructure, period. Thank you.
My name is Will Swearengin. I live in Bozeman. The large financial risk to ratepayers from the heavy focus on gas-fired generating plants. I believe this is a risky investment for two reasons. First, in the not-distant future, gas generation, in my opinion, is no longer going to be economically competitive. We've already seen how, over the last decade, coal has gone from being almost 45% of the nation's electricity to a predicted 23% next year. Similarly, I believe that the rapidly declining costs of renewable energy are now eclipsing gas-fired electricity. According to one authoritative study, in only 7 years, by 2026, it will actually be less expensive to build and operate new renewable energy plants with storage than to continue to operate existing gas-fired plants. Existing would be the ones that Northwest Energy wants to build. Secondly, it's highly likely that over the next decade, West Coast and other states in our region will gradually refuse to purchase electricity from gas-fired plants, just as they've already done with coal-fired electricity because of changing customer demand. So together, these two factors threaten to make Northwest Energy's new gas-fired plants a stranded asset within the next 10 years. However, given that these plants will last from 30 to 50 years, ratepayers will be on the hook to pay for these plants for decades to come. And this risk is becoming widely recognized nationwide. In Indiana recently, utility regulators there unanimously rejected an 850-megawatt natural gas plant because of concern that it would become a stranded asset. So in short, this resource plan is a risky proposition. The PSC should not allow the utility to pass on all these risks to ratepayers. I suspect that if Northwestern Energy had to assume any of these risks, they'd come up with a very different plan.
You have just heard public comments concerning Northwestern Energy's 2019 Electricity Supply Resource Procurement Plan. First, from a session convened by outgoing Public Service Commissioner for this district, Roger Koopman, at the Bozeman Public Library on the evening of December 30th, 2019, and then from the December 9th, 2019 session at the Public Service Commission office in Helena. Until January 6, 2020, comments can be submitted by email at psc_utilitycomment@mt.gov. This and many more links to information, such as PDFs of Northwestern's proposed plan, the 2017 Montana Climate Assessment Report, and Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's special reports can be found at kgvm.org. This has been a Beyond the Deep End production, recorded and produced by Joy LaClaire for Gallatin Valley Community Radio, KGVM Bozeman.